Our outline on giving begins, first of all, with authorization. When we think about any subject in the Bible, we want to make sure that we have authority for what we do. Colossians 3, verse 17 is not on the sheet, but you may remember what that verse says. Paul says, whatever we do, in word or deed, let how much be done? All be done in the name or by the authority of Jesus. Even therefore, when we think about things like giving, giving has to be authorized. So we should find some information about, in this case, giving, somewhere in the Bible, especially the New Testament, since that's the covenant that we are under. And then with that information, we want to make sure that we follow it. You'll see, under 1A, information about 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. And I'm going to emphasize some words from these two verses, and then we'll break them down. But Paul says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as they gave order to the churches of Galatia, so also do ye, upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in stores, he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Several years ago, when I started to try to really start studying the Bible, I'd underline words. If I were still trying to study in that way, some of the words that might stick out to me as far as these verses would be collection. The collection, well, when we talk about authority for giving or taking finances, then here we have information about a collection. Paul says, who's the collection for? It's the saints, Christians. And that would raise another question. Could we help people who are not Christians, or is it just for saints? Then Paul goes on to say, as I, an apostle. This was not a suggestion, but this was something that he was doing as an apostle. He said he gave what? He gave an order. Once again, that would be a key word. This was not a recommendation. This was not an option. But he said, I gave this order. This was a command. This was an inspired directive that needed to be carried out. Did it need to be carried out by one congregation or multiple groups? Multiple groups, because he says the churches, plural, of Galatia. Then he went on to say, so also do you. Who would this be, the you? Well, okay, ultimately us, but in the first century, who would it have been? Who was 1 Corinthians written to? The Corinthians. So the Corinthians were also specifically involved in addition to the people from Galatia. Then he says, upon when? First day of the week. So if we think about giving, authority, God has authorized the practice. He's authorized it for multiple congregations, the entire brotherhood, and then he tells us on what day to do it. And that brings up some other questions, and we'll deal with these a little later. What about making a collection on a different day? Is that possible? Is that authorized? And then he says, we'll talk about this too a little later, let the rich give. No, he says, let each one of you. Giving is to be a congregational thing. Lay by him in store. This would be another important word. As he may prosper. Another important word, that no collections be made when I come. Now, turning to some of the specific points. Paul said what? Concerning the collection. Now, when we look at a lot of religious groups, and we've talked about this before as far as extremes, people can go too far this way, they can go too far this way. Do you think it's also possible to go too far one way or the other when it comes to collections, money? You find some religious groups, every time the preacher or the key fella seems to speak for the group, what's the subject? Money. That's all they hear about. And when I hear these guys, I'm thinking, man, you found more ways to talk about money than the Lord did. And then there's some other fellas, they never talk about it. Well, it's kind of the same principle with kids. You don't want to hammer the same thing day in and day out, but at the same time, if you don't teach them some things, we have some issues. Yeah, there has to be that balance. So this is what we find when it comes to the Bible. There is information about it. It's not on every page, so deal with it. And, do that at appropriate times. All right, in addition to the what, we have the when. We have a Bible example of giving on what day of the week? On the first day of the week. Now, a lot of translations, the King James, the American Standard, they will just say on the first day of the week. We do have at least one or two that will sometimes read from the New American Standard. And if you have the New American Standard, it actually says on the first day of every week. Every is actually part of the Greek text, which, as I said, is not brought out by every English translation, but it definitely is there. So when Paul gave this order to the Corinthians, it was something that was to be done week after week. It was a regular thing. Then we have this question, God planned our giving. Should we also plan our giving? We should. Worship should be a planned activity, but sometimes people just, it's almost like it's kind of thrown together in a haphazard way, and there can be things that happen, but worship should be planned. Then the follow-up matter, do you think God would be pleased if we engaged in unplanned giving?
I would say no.
No.
That's the first thing that you should take out of your
patience. Sure. You know, that was one of the principles that was taught to the people in the Old Testament. You know, God basically comes first. Jesus talked about seeking first the kingdom in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I don't have this on the sheet, but I guess I would ask this particular question. Why? Why do we think that people often fail to plan when it comes to giving? All right, I think that's going to be one of the top answers that we could give. People think, well, hey, you know, I'm the priority here. It's my life, it's my money, my resources, and as long as I'm taken care of, then whatever's left, well, we'll go ahead and impart some of that to God. Why else do people plan to fail to plan to give?
Lack of time.
All right, I think that's...
Not making their use of good.
Yeah. You know, it's a poor time to try to balance a checkbook and work things out as far as budget when you come to services. You know, you may cut a check here, but at least know how much you're going to give in advance. All right, so me first, time, anything else? All right, there are going to be some people who, when we think, you know, they failed to plan, there are going to be some restrictions on finances. But even that, though, should still come with some planning, where they have looked at their budget and ahead and say, we can't give much, but at least we can look at what we have and we can go ahead and plan. But there are some people who say, well, I just don't have that much, so I'm not going to plan. So there are some people that fall into that category, and that's not good. Somebody else had a hand?
The widow only had a mite to give. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
she was someone who, once again, had to look at things, and she did some planning there. So we do not want to fall into this category, whether we have a little or a lot. All right, in addition to the what and the when, point three takes us to who. Who's to give?
Each one.
Each one, every individual. And we make the point from this, giving must be a personal thing. This is important. Giving is not just for the rich, the middle class. Anybody need a copy of the outline? We've still got some at the back if you need that information. Okay. When we look at right now with the presidential debates, there's a lot of talk about, you know, taxes and who should pay or who should not pay, what's fair, this, that, and the other thing. You think that can also flow over into the church? As far as people, what about someone who's on a fixed income? Let's just kind of run through it a little bit. You could do the same thing in politics, but what about the person on the fixed income? What can they say as far as excuse they're giving?
Well, everybody can give the same. I mean,
all right.
You give as you prosper.
Sure. And the person on the fixed income might say, what have I got? I've got very little. Okay, so let's, for the sake of an illustration, exclude them. What about the young person? Can we exclude the young person?
No, if he has something to give, you know, he should contribute.
Oh, all right, should. But can the young person excuse his giving? At least can he try?
Sure.
Sure. What might he say?
I've got school to pay for.
All right, I'm in school. I'm only working part-time.
I'm under my parents' roof.
All right, I have to live at home. I'm living under my parents' roof. All right, yeah, there again, assuming that we're maybe dealing with someone in the teenage years, hopefully not in the 20s at that point, but I don't get an allowance. What else?
If you don't start thinking, you're not
going to
start
thinking. Sure, the same kind of deal. All right, well, what about the person? We've gotten rid of the young, we've gotten rid of the middle class, or we've gotten rid of the older generation. What about the middle class? Can they excuse themselves?
No.
You don't think the middle class can offer an excuse?
No, they could.
Sure, they can.
Yeah.
What can they offer?
Well, I think you could say you're getting close to retirement. You're not where you want to be financially.
Okay.
Man, I got to hunker down. I got to get where I need to be financially, so I'm going to cut back on my contributions.
We hear that, or at least that happens. We may not hear about it, but it does occur. All right, so that's one example. What else? Kids are in college right now. Can I afford to give?
The prices are so high, I can't afford to give.
All right, inflation has started to erode my paycheck. What about the rich? I mean, they're really the only ones left, aren't they? The poor are too poor to give, the younger too young to give, the older too old to give, the middle class, they've got their issues. What about the rich?
I'm not going to be rich if I keep giving this away.
Yeah, how am I going to have money to help if I go ahead and help you? So wherever people are in life, they can excuse. And we've talked about excuses in a previous class. So it really does not matter as far as where a person is. And that's why it goes back to planned giving. Don?
Well, in the key word here, as he asked words, as he may prosper.
Yes, it is.
I mean, and that can be defined by individual. And Paul is directing this as an individual. And he had other, in other Corinthians letters, he talked about how you should give with a cheerful heart.
Right.
And if you're not giving with a cheerful heart, you shouldn't be giving in the first place.
Right, that's true. If you go back to Scott's illustration, here's a kid who's making, through his allowance, 50 cents a dollar a week. That's not very much. 50 pennies a week? But you think he can be taught to give something out of that?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he ends up giving a penny, a nickel, a dime. You know, maybe he's real generous and gives a quarter. Maybe he gives the whole thing. So from the standpoint of what's put on the board, you know, 50 cents is not going to make us or break us. But what have we done with that child, with that 50 cent allowance? All right, we've said, hey, you know, God has a plan when it comes to giving. And as your income presumably grows, you know, this should go and increase along with it. But teach, plan, giving. And this brings us then to the next question. 3C, should children give?
Yes, you're supposed to give them something to
sure.
them also in order to teach them
yeah.
things and get them in
habit. Mm-hmm. And when we think about kids, and we'll touch on this a little bit later, what about the spirit? You think kids can give in a grudging way? I mean, he's only getting 50 cents a week for an allowance, and he's thinking, man, you want me to give some of my allowance? I mean, I value all 50 pennies. Well, a wise parent might do what? To teach that child, hey, giving is a Bible responsibility. There's also a proper attitude for it. What are we going to do as the parent?
Well, if you're going to give a child an allowance, say you're going to give him a dollar, you might tell him, you're going to... Some of this you're going to save it. Some of it you're going to give to the church. And the rest of it, you can, you know, buy whatever you need. I mean, you might have to save some of it to buy something, but you should tell them that when you give them the allowance.
All right. Good parental advice up front. Here's money, and here's a quick tutorial. You know? Maybe draw them a little pie chart or maybe not, but explain things. Hey, there are different things as far as categories. You know some of them. Let's go over and make sure that you know them all. And kind of divide them up. So, you know, savings, some fun stuff, giving, different places to go ahead and put the resources we're providing you with. Anything else that might be done there? If 50 cents is going to seem like, you know, and, you know, obviously I think in today's world an allowance for somebody who's a teenager is not going to probably cut it at 50 cents. But for illustration, mom and dad know that 50 cents isn't going to cut it. The child's going to be grudging as far as contributing something out of that. So mom and dad, you think they might up it to a buck? Or if it's $5 a week, they do 7 or 10? They pad that a little bit so the child is now able to say, well, hey, I've got enough where I feel like I can go ahead and give. So mom and dad can also, as we look at the amount, not only instruct them in that, but also provide enough where they don't feel like, well, you know, I just value each penny, so I'm not going to go ahead and depart with anything. Anything you want to add or ask before we pick up with point four? Okay. With the fourth point, how much? Also thinking about 1 Corinthians 16. And this goes back to what Don said just a moment ago. How much as he may prosper. This is something, as you talk about the Bible with people in the religious world, they may not know a lot. You may feel like you do not know a lot. But this is one of the most fundamental points, I think, that we can cover with people. They may not know much else about, you know, religion, but they do know most religious groups pass a collection basket, don't you think? Everybody knows that they take up a collection because most groups do take up some kind of collection. All right, if we know almost nothing else about Bible or New Testament Christianity, what do we know about the collection? It's not a percent. It is based on how much you have prospered. You know, you've been prospered. You've been blessed a little bit. You give proportionally. You've been blessed a lot. You give a lot. And for a lot of people, this is a brand new concept. When you talk to people about giving in the religious world and they're unfamiliar with this, it's kind of like, well, I never knew that was in the Bible. Many times this can open up the door to discussing some other topics. So very, very important point. The Old Testament, as we look at it, we'll get some helpers lined up here for about five references. Leviticus 27, verses 30 to 32. All right, that's going to be Glenda, thank you. And after that, Acts 17, verse 30. Who'd like, okay. Scott's going to pick that one up. Luke 6, verse 38. Luke 6, verse 38. Bessie. And then 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Maxine, if you want to pick that up, 1 Timothy 6. Let's start with the Old Testament, Leviticus 27, verses 30 to 32.